Today is October 7th, 2022. Current Bitcoin price is $19,563.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
How's your Friday evening going, Rick?
Well, I'm off work, so it's going pretty good.
I'm right there with you, man. This has been a long, long week. And so, I mean, the unfortunate thing for me is, like, this is my lull before, like, a month-long run. So, I'm, like, trying to prep for the marathon, get ready to go.
Is it a marathon or is it a sprint?
No, it's more of a sprint because it's short-term. Like, it's a month. It's a month of it.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be too bad, and fingers crossed it'll be the last one I have to do for many years, at least with work-wise like that. So yeah, we're in October.
Yay, October.
I think it's fitting, kind of what we were talking right before we started recording. I think we should start talking about the month of October historically, financially.
Yep.
So give me your take on this.
Well, you can just feel it in the air, like the tension and everything. You can cut it with a knife. We've been talking with different people. Like one of the guys we know, kind of the company that he runs, he delivers oil and gas stuff, but people are not, they don't have enough work for all of the drivers. And he basically said this was basically like 2008, the end of 2008, beginning of 2009 is what it feels like to him right now.
Yeah. And I think we mentioned that last podcast. We even titled the podcast Feels Like a Wait or something like that.
Yeah. 2008 feels, that's basically what we meant, you know, kind of, it's very reminiscent of that time. So in what's kind of fascinating is historically there's been quite a few market downturns, you know, in the fall, especially in October. I mean, the crash of 1929 happened in October. Mm-hmm. Another huge one was actually 1987. I mean, we were probably too young to remember that, but that was an absolute bloodbath. It actually, wasn't that the biggest decline ever?
Let me see if this has got something about that on there.
Well, it's after that time that they started putting in rules where they were shutting down markets instead of letting them completely free fall that long.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's when they started basically the circuit breakers, right?
Exactly. So,
yeah, that's basically they started printing money at that time too, it looks like. Black Monday, financial meltdown, and an unexpected stock market crash on October 19th, 1987, which historians now refer to as Black Monday. Automatic stop loss orders and financial contagions gave the market a thorough throttling as a domino effect echoed around the world. The Federal Reserve and other central banks rapidly intervened, and the Dow recovered from a 22% drop quite rapidly. So that dropped 22%. What did I say, 2022? Yeah, no, 22% drop that took place on that day. And for the standard financial markets, that's massive. In crypto, that's just a Wednesday. But on, like, your standard financial markets, like, that's unheard of.
Absolutely.
So that's probably where you start to see, like, basically what I call the circuit breaker started going into effect on the stock market, right? Like, they will not allow those cascades to continue when they see those types of movements.
Yeah, they hit the disconnect stop button.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And they call it done.
They're like, nope, we're closing today. You guys all go home and think about what you just did.
Yeah, basically, reprimand them, send them home. It's like, you better have a better attitude come tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or else.
There was another one. There was a bank panic that took place in 1907. October of 1907 is when it started, and it stretched for 6 weeks, it says. There were multiple bank runs, heavy panic selling at the stock exchange. All that stood between the U.S.'s serious crash was a J.P. Morgan-led consortium. that did the work of the Federal Reserve before the Federal Reserve existed. So yeah. that's what triggered them to say, hey, we need the lender of last resort, right?
Exactly. That was kind of their built-in excuse to create the Fed.
Mm-hmm. And then you had your stock market crash of 1929. You had the Black Monday event, which took place on October 19th, 1987. And I think you had said that even the 2008 market actually started in September, which would have carried over into October, right?
Yeah. The chaos reigned from basically September through November.
Yeah. Now, and it's always funny to talk about this. I mean, whenever we're looking at it as, you know, kind of this big event, but single point declines on the Dow that occurred in September 2001 and 2008 were bigger than the Black Monday event of 1987. Wow. So obviously 2001 was the September 11th attacks, right? And the markets right. that went into free fall after that. And then, of course, we all know what happened in 2008, and we've still been kind of like this. Everything that we're experiencing right now is kind of a carryover of just the Band-Aid kind of coming off from 2008 and then the extrapolated by all the money printing that happened during the COVID pandemic.
Yep. Expanded everything.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's always funny because you read these things and they're like, oh, well. You know, these were actually excellent buying opportunities. Well, yeah, of course, if you can get something at a discount, it's a great buying opportunity. But if you're the one holding the bag when your items go on sale, you know, and you pay the top dollar for it, you're like, ooh, hell, I don't feel so good.
No, you're the one getting pillaged.
Yeah.
Not the other way around.
Yeah, that always goes back to that adage, you know, you want to be greedy when others are fearful. You know, when there's blood in the streets, that's when you want to be buying. But but that is, people are bleeding out. That's why there's blood on the streets, right? Like, it's not always a good time, and it's not easy to go through. And so, I mean, we've got this crazy macroeconomic environment going on currently, which is going to kind of lead into what I was also wanting to talk about on this one, too, was we had a report that came out from the UN actually begging the Fed to stop interest rate hikes, basically yeah. in hopes to prevent a worldwide recession. And I've heard different reports. I've heard things about Credit Suisse is looking like they're going to be shutting down. Sorry about that. Credit Suisse is looking like they're going to be shutting down, and they could be in bankruptcy. The actual British pound is getting lower and lower, and they actually turned back on the printers in Britain, from what I understand.
Really?
That's what I've heard. Let me check that. Let's see if I'm just spouting out nonsense.
I believe it. Most places would keep churning after what we're seeing economically.
Yeah. Yeah, they're trying to do whatever they can to keep their economies...
Right now, just a float, not even strong. Right?
Yeah. No, that's not what I'm looking for either. I don't know. They don't have it on there, but that's what I've heard. So, I mean, that's not confirmed by any means. So, I don't want to go too far into that. But when you've got the UN asking the Fed to stop what they're doing with the interest rate hikes, and, you know, and we've talked about this, like, they cannot stop.
Well, they can stop, but it's going to just lead to more inflation. And what they're doing is just crushing everything. And that's how basically, inflationary periods end is when the economies crash. So.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, and unfortunately, like when the Fed, when they take their hard-nosed stance and they become, you know, so hawkish about everything, it's sad because, I mean, the people that, and we've talked about this, the people that can impact the most are the poor and underprivileged, right?
Exactly.
They're the ones that
you can't take it.
Yeah. They're the ones that are already, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. And the Fed's like, you know, even when they hear this thing from the UN saying, hey, stop raising interest rates, you know, and Jerome Powell goes on the news the next day, you know, at a press conference, and he's like, well, we're going to keep doing this till the job is done, no matter what. I mean, when you really think about that, as much as they want to be like, oh yeah, no, we're fixing inflation, what they're talking about is wrecking the economy.
Yep. Slowing it down, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, but wrecking is, I think, the more apropos term, you know.
I think the only way they can actually get, you know, kind of the inflation rate to kind of be where they want it to be is they've got to completely demolish it. But the unfortunate thing is that they take it too far, and that goes back to that soft landing discussion that we had. And Jerome Powell, I think at the last meeting, right after we had recorded last time, or right before we recorded last time, basically had stated that, you know, they didn't care pretty much if they wrecked the economy. They, you know, and they weren't even sure if they could do a soft landing. So that basically, if they're not sure they can do a soft landing, that means they're going to wreck the economy. And then the people that are going to hurt from it are going to be the ones that are already hurting, and they're just going to continue to hurt more. And it's extrapolated because it's not just the United States, it's the world, right?
Yeah, it's a totally connected economy anymore. I mean, when, what was the saying, even in 2008, when America sneezed, the whole rest of the world caught a cold or something like that?
Yeah. And that's why I think, you know, whenever I was hearing that about Credit Suisse and then Bank of England talking about printing more money because, you know, the pound is suffering so much. I mean, that's what you're seeing, right? Like in America, we've got, and maybe we're a little bit more insulated in our environment in a way. I mean, I know we feel it in certain ways for sure. And maybe we're just not at that economic level any longer. You know, we're still going to the store, being able to buy our items, stuff like that. But we're not feeling so overburdened by it yet. But that's coming. If that's already starting to happen, like in Europe and those types of things.
Absolutely. No, I mean in Europe, just with the energy prices going to $1 per kilowatt hour. That would deindustrialize everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't do anything at that point. It just becomes too expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, why would you even want to open up your business unless the sun's shining? Right? I mean, you wouldn't want to turn on the lights.
Well, let's say your business is like pumping fluid, because like 10% of the energy that's consumed is you know, pumping, whether it's water, you know, chemicals or oil and gas, that type of thing. That 10% of our power is being consumed like that. And another 10% is being consumed by smelting, at least it used to be, smelting aluminum.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to separate, you know, take the aluminum ore. You can't just heat it up. It takes way too much heat. So they use electricity to do it. But every little thing is going to become so expensive once that goes into effect. It's going to be devastating.
Yeah. And we saw actually, like, right when that press release came out from the UN asking the Fed to stop, we did see a bit of a rally within Bitcoin, you know, because I think a lot of people are like, people are just waiting for the Fed to say, fine, you know, we'll open up the printers again. Which, I mean, regardless, which one's going to be worse? The inflation or the crashing the economy?
Well, if it goes into hyperinflation, that's always worse because everyone's, well, unless you own hard any savings you have, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, the inflation aspect of it, that's who it really impacts, right? Are the savers. The people that are saving, actually, the people that are saving just with money in their bank account. That's who it hurts. Like, not the people that are actually financially savvy and that are buying assets, true, you know, true hard assets, whether it be collectibles or whether it be gold, silver, cryptocurrencies, stocks, anything like that, then you're going to do fine. Art's a great one too, actually. But those people that don't do that, and maybe they just have money socked away in the bank, that's who the inflation rate hurts the most. Whereas the savers are actually going to kind of end up okay as long as your money's still worth a darn once, like, an economy crashes And that goes back to, you know, the buying opportunities, right? If you have money in reserves, you can toss it back into those assets that can appreciate once the money printers come back online.
Yeah.
Because the only way to fix the economy, if it goes into some sort of a complete breakdown, a collapse, is to print money again. Right?
Well, I mean, it's a way to jumpstart it.
Yeah, and that's what they'll do, guaranteed, I would imagine. I mean, if they let it just collapse, Jerome Powell better, like, and, like, he's just like, yeah, well, you know, it's going to take 10 years, but we'll get back there. Like, I can't imagine, like, anybody would be too happy about that. Not that it should. I mean, realistically, that's the only way to fix it, like, in long term. Like, you've got to do that hard reset on everything, right? And I'm not talking about the Great Reset. I'm just talking about a hard reset. Like, let's get everything back to true value.
Yep.
You know,
but then that's what we've been avoiding since 2000.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. So it's going to be incredibly painful when we unwind this. So, yeah, I don't see our politicians going buying onto that. They'd rather just kick the can down the road a little bit further if they could.
Yeah.
Even if it's impossible, they'll try and do it. So I still think hyperinflation is in our future. So that's my take.
Yeah. The only reason why I still hold off on the hyperinflation thing is because of the global economy. If the rest of the world continued to be, if they were frugal, which, I mean, and we may see that, like, in Europe for sure. If they continue to print during these times like this and we start to tighten, that's going to hurt them badly. But
yeah, for sure.
We'll have to see what happens with that. Like, I mean, it's the hyperinflation thing, I think, really only hurts you if you're the only country doing the act. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If you're the only one doing the act, now if everybody's doing the act, then you guys are all like all the ships are rising together. But if you're the only one doing the act, you're the one riding the top of a tidal wave that nobody else is on. So you're just going to drown yourself. And that may be a complete incorrect analogy to use. The other thing,
well, that, go ahead. No, that's an interesting point that you bring up, though, is every country, you know, since 2008 has been on a printing spree that the world has never seen before. Every country jumped on board that crazy train.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that's the only reason why I think it was able to go on as long as it had. Is because everybody was doing the same thing. Yeah. And that's why, like, I wonder what that does, that push and pull effect where you got, if the Fed's really going to continue to be hawkish and tighten down, meanwhile, the rest of the world's like, well, we can't do that. Because we've talked about that before, too. Like, the money that they print is like an injection. It's like a drug for a junkie, right? You get a little bit and you need a little bit more and a little bit more. And every time it takes a little bit more to get higher and higher, right? So,
yeah, and you don't have enough of it, you start to experience withdrawals. I mean, it is a drug.
Yeah. I mean, so what happens if the biggest drug dealer in the world is refusing to do it, and so you're going to get this second-rate pump basically from your local vendors rather than having your Walter White Sky Blue. You know, you go into withdrawals and, well, I mean, you maybe overdose. I don't know. That's the only way I can think of it. Like, you overdose and that would be your hyperinflation, right? Within your own economy at your local level.
Yep. But there's several drugs that the weaning you off of it can kill you too. So
that's true. That's absolutely true. Something else we had talked about not too long ago. I think we've kind of brought it up almost every episode of the BitBite, the housing markets. So it looks like the metro areas, which I kind of figured was going to be first, right? They're starting to see, when you look at the metro, the U.S. metro areas across the board, they're down, 77% of them are down. It's not down 77%, so I don't want to be misleading with that. But we're starting to see 1.6% reduction in housing prices. So it seems like the peak, and we've talked about that before, we saw that in the, you know, some of the slides that we put up on the Discord last episode. We're starting to see where that's finally starting to, that it's turning over, right?
Right.
I mean, you've got interest rates that are sitting at 6.62% on average for a mortgage now, which even from the time that we recorded, I think, what was that? That was maybe 2 months ago, and it was right around like 4.25%. And now you're looking at a mortgage rate of 6.62%. Like, that's a pretty big rise.
That's huge. I mean, that'll cut down on your budget, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because you've got to factor that into your house payment now. Like, maybe you could have. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say your house payment just grew that much more for a whole lot less borrowed. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And the craziest darn thing about all this, while all this is going on, and previously in the bull markets with Bitcoin, hash rate always indicated where price was going. If hash rate was going high, price was going to fall. And a new all-time high was hit with the hash rate yet again on October 5th.
It's kind of crazy to think that even with all the struggles that Bitcoin's been having price-wise, people are jumping more and more onto it to mine it.
Yeah, people are turning on miners. I mean, you talk about energy costs, right? Energy costs are high. Bitcoin costs energy. I mean, given we've talked about that, maybe they're using a lot more renewables, those types of things. And maybe that'll help proliferate the renewable market, you know, and allow it to grow. However, the fact that we're hitting all-time high on hash rate when the Bitcoin price is basically at 2017 levels.
Yeah.
Realistically, I mean, that we're kind of like in that, you know, what the peak was of the 2017 bull market. So that's just insane. I mean, I can't like. And the hash rate wasn't even that close to that back then. And no. We went from basically from, we'll say, March of less than 140 exahashes to over 240 exahashes now in March 2022 to October 2022. And you and I looked at some of these mining rigs in the past. Like, these are not cheap machines.
No. And they had super long lead times to even get them.
And I wonder some of that too. I wonder if some of that was, well, and how long ago was that? Was that 2021?
It was about 2020, end of 2020, early 2021. When we were really looking into it.
I mean, maybe it's just those machines are finally starting to get released and so they're coming online. I don't know. But that is just insane to me. That means there's more people mining than ever before.
Yep.
And electricity is a
powerful processing.
Yeah. Well, but so, and that was the thing that I noticed too. Like, when we looked at that, like, yeah, you had more powerful processors that came on board. Like, every time it was not a, It was more exponential on the hash rate that took place. But the electrical consumption wasn't, I mean, I guess it was exponential too. Like, everything was becoming so much more efficient. And I don't know if that's directly correlated to Moore's law with those types of processors that are required for this type of work. But still, I mean, maybe it is fewer miners and they're just that much more powerful. That's a possibility. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see if there's a spread that actually shows that.
I'm kind of curious. But maybe people just bought all those miners back in the day when prices were still up above, you know, 40. And now, you know, they have no choice but to continue mining.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I still think it's pretty incredible that when you go back and you look, they've got a really nice line graph here that shows the hash power by country, and China just had like such a huge amount until basically it was August and September of 2021 when they outlawed mining in China, and the rest of the world just picked it up. United States especially, they made a lot of ground on it, and now China's starting to come back into the markets. on the hashing, you know, for the mining part of it, which is interesting. So, I don't know, man. It's freaky times.
No, I agree. It feels like we're living just one giant historical event the past few years. Everything's just nuts.
Yeah, it hasn't stopped. It seems like it hasn't stopped. Like, when you think about it, we did a podcast on another podcast that we do back in 2019. I think it was early or end of 2019, right? That we did the COVID episode at the time.
Yeah.
We talked about what are the implications, where is it going, you know, what can this do to the globe, and just seeing, it's been, ever since then, we've just been going through these crazy, turbulent times, and we're talking about whether it's the environment, and I'm not talking about global warming, but I'm just saying the environment as a whole, and maybe it is part of global warming, I don't know. I mean, socially, financially, politically, it has just been nuts.
Yeah, no, it's you've been spun around so much that you feel a little bit dizzy and want to sit down for a little bit, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just been too much to take in. Like, it's, I don't know, maybe part of that is just you put your head down and you work. I don't know. But it's been pretty crazy, and I still don't think we've seen the end of all that craziness yet.
Nope, not one bit.
But Bitcoin price-wise, I mean, there was a lot of optimism there for that little bit when the UN did that thing, and everybody was like, man, if Bitcoin can hold 20,000, it's going to go up to 50,000 in no time. I still believe Bitcoin's the best bet for coming out of this once everything... But we got to get through that collapse first, right? Like, and that's where... That's the scary part. Like, is it going to go to that utter collapse like what we talked about? And then Bitcoin will recover like nobody's business because everybody will be like, well, I don't want to go through that again.
Exactly.
Or are they going to turn back on the printers?
Yeah. But especially if they turn the printers back on, I think Bitcoin will become the safe haven. But, you know, that's just my guess.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and then, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. There was a lot of hacks that happened within the crypto space. I'm not going to say Bitcoin because it wasn't Bitcoin, but in the crypto space over the last couple of days. And that could be part of the reason why we were seeing the tumbles in the market. And then I often wonder at times, how often is that orchestrated by malicious actors, bad actors, whether it's state run or not? Because cyber warfare is a real thing. And I mean, when you get people that are rug pulling, you know, some of the easier, more susceptible cryptos, almost part of me feels like there's somebody trying to tell you, hey, don't trust this stuff. We don't want you touching it. Look at what happened here. Of course, Bitcoin didn't suffer that, but that's that. I don't know. Anyways, is there anything else you wanted to bring up?
No, there's nothing I want to add today.
Sweet. Well, then I guess we'll go ahead and we'll close this out. We will reconvene. Hopefully we'll have some more news here pretty soon. CPI numbers are going to be coming out again here pretty soon, and I'm curious what they're going to be. I don't think they're going to be a big reduction. That's going to be a big question as to what happens with the Bitcoin price next. Because the Fed reiterated their stance that they're going to continue to drive forward. They've got a goal. They've got a quest. They want to complete it. So CPI, hopefully we'll be able to get together and record around that time too. So
absolutely.
Thank you guys for listening. Again, buy Bitcoin, not financial advice. Just do it. No, I'm kidding. Thank you for listening.